broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it was refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August 19th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our 2 of 2. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Last hour, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, doing a phenomenal job. We also have Eldon Stahl with us, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, and TheNewAmerican.com. Incredible websites in their own right, to say the least. A lot of great work there. We talked about the Honest Money Report last hour with Brian. We talked about $600 million cryptocurrency stolen by hacker, not even interested in money. Wow. They call it a poly hack, crypto hack, whatever you want to say. There you have it. We talked about Deutsche Bank warns of global time bomb coming due to rising inflation. CNBC with that piece. Sounds like a doomsday or headline, to say the least. But right at the end of the hour, Brian Rust brought this up, and I want to pick Eldon's brain on this really quick. Here's what he said. Venezuela, they're promoting cryptocurrency now big time. That's their way out of the problems they kind of believe or claim or whatever. Venezuelan cryptocurrency. Wow. If that's not an unstable scenario, I don't know what is. But listen to this headline. Venezuelans, Eldon Stahl, can now buy crypto with their state stimulus check, sir.
Oh, wow.
That awesome?
Sounds like a great deal.
Woo!
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I wonder
buddy.
How much toilet paper you can buy with that. It's just, they've debased their currency so badly. It's just scary. Anybody that's ever experienced that, thank goodness I have never experienced hyperinflation, but, anybody that's will tell you that, has been through that as will tell you it's a terrible experience. Nothing that you ever want to go through.
And ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to laugh at this or make fun of it. I know if you live in Venezuela, it's a serious issue and it's not funny at all. I understand that. The reason that I'm laughing, ladies and gentlemen, is when you come from a constitutional background as I do, and you believe that God ordains honest weights and measures in the Bible, and you learn that gold and silver has really lasted the test of time, of stable, intrinsic value, real, honest weights and measures in money. And you know that from a biblical perspective, from a Christian perspective. And then you understand that from a founding father-esque perspective where they researched it and came back to the same conclusion, which is you've got to have honest money. You've got to have appropriate relationships of metals that have intrinsic value. They hold their value better. They have all the different properties necessary for the appropriate medium of exchange. Can other things be used? Yes, but not near as reliably, not near as stably, not near relating to the test of time that constitutional currency does. Okay, and then you hear all these patriots and all these people running around going, yeah, thank heavens we can escape the government, do our own crypto. It's all secure and safe. And they're buying a pack of lies. And every one of these nations that have this instability in money have their origins of fake money in communism. All right, so Venezuelans, what is that, a flat-out communist country?
Yep.
Now buy crypto with government stimulus checks. Okay, now, aren't we kind of going down the same road? They're giving you stimulus checks left and right and left and right. How long will it be till you can buy your U.S. digital currency? You can have kind of a... It's kind of like pick your ice cream, Eldon. I'm just going to go ahead and have the United States crypto this time with this check. Next check, I'll do some Venezuelan. You know, it's like, what the heck are we talking about? And then we expect somehow to come out of the other end of that, avoiding inflation, avoiding the ticking time bomb that literally Deutsche Bank is warning about. I mean, it's insanity.
It is. And, I've got this little book that I always like to plug books, right? One is called Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. Excellent book. Probably puts to shame who knows how many years of bad economic teaching of Keynesian economics that you'd ever get in most colleges a bunch of nonsense they fill your brain with about how the government can just create prosperity and all this stuff. It's all these schemes he just debunks very, very well, very briefly. And the currency stuff, that's basically from the same type of thinking that the government can just create wealth out of thin air. It can't. It doesn't have that power. There's nothing that the government can do to do that, whether it's digital or paper or what have you. We need honest money, and that's just how it is.
Now let's highlight this a little bit more for people's education or understanding. This book that you mentioned, Economics in One Lesson, it's a little book. It's put out by the Mises Institute, right? And
Yep, very well done.
Henry Hazlitt wrote it, but this book's been out for a long time. What was he, 1894? 1993, that's when he lived, right?
Yeah, the book came out in, I think, 46, like right after World War II is when it came out. So he was reflecting, of course, a lot of what FDR did. But so many of the same schemes are going on nowadays that he addresses in the book. It just helps you understand that, well, okay, we've got to consider all the different consequences of something rather than just the immediate, the obvious consequence of some proposed new economic hocus pocus that the government decides, oh, this is a good idea and we can benefit this or that special interest.
Well, and the reason we bring up this book, ladies and gentlemen, even though it seems like an old book, it's a little book. At some point, some people might just think, oh, inconsequential, come on. But this really has fundamental time-tested principles taught. And that's kind of the point here is that, you know what? You can take a little book like this, you can unlearn literally decades of wrong understanding regarding economics, regarding the free enterprise system, regarding our founding father-esque viewpoint of economies and why and how and what and who and where. You can boil it down. This book teaches these fundamental simple principles that, again, have weathered the test of time, Eldon.
Yeah, they definitely have. Well, and some of the listeners may say, well, I'm not much of a reader, whatever. This book, it's quite an easy read, actually. It's not, you think about economics, usually you think of something that's pretty dull, boring, not appealing to read. This one, it moves along pretty well. And you read it and you say, well, yeah, that's the same argument they're using nowadays. And you can see right through the arguments very easily because you can look and the same principles apply to so many different things. It's just repackaged type of arguments that are used nowadays for this or that. Maybe it's a farm subsidy or minimum wage or making sure that the prices for whatever commodity it is have a minimum to benefit the producers, so supposedly, all these different things. He just blows into bits, and you're able to quickly recognize the fault in the premises that they have in promoting these schemes.
Well, and I want to basically be very clear about this book too. Number one, the book, Economics in One Lesson, Mises Institute put it out. Henry Hazlitt is the author, but this book is tiny. You can get it used for just a couple of bucks. But not only is it a simple read to understand and get kind of an overview, it's worth reading two or three or four times because what you're doing is not only are you learning fundamentals, but you are unlearning false doctrines or false teachings about economics at the same time. And then you can also use this book quickly to look up something if you forget something, or if you have a modern day application of something relating to economies or enterprise or government or expenditures or savings or anything to do with kind of money transactions. You can remind yourself, wait, this is the principle. How does the modern reality fit into this? Very, very educational on multiple fronts, Eldon.
It really is. It really is. It's just I always recommend that one along with, of course, The Law by Bastiat. That one's from mid 19th century, but they do go hand in hand. These are arguments used by socialists to try to get you to buy into their schemes of remaking society and economics is one of their ways they try to do that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a break here in just a second. When we come back, though, I want to talk with Eldon Stahl in detail about the U.S. has now armed the Taliban with the latest military hardware. I'm talking Black Hawk helicopters all the way through. While they want to disarm you and I from defending our homes, they want to go ahead and arm the Taliban to well, they didn't want to go ahead. They've already done it. And at one hand, you want to blame Joe Biden, and the Republicans want to blame Joe. Oh, Joe blew it. No, no, no. They've all been accomplices to this, in my opinion, war crime for decades. And we're going to get into that with Eldon Stahl in just a minute after the break. Meanwhile, though, I want you to know that, a lot of people listen to our unlimited listen lines where you just dial a phone number. You can listen to the radio on your phone. Turn any phone into a radio. What I like to do is dial the line, put it on mute, put it on speakerphone, and, man, I've just got this killer cordless phone radio that I can cruise around my house with and listen anywhere, anytime. People are doing that in office buildings where they might not have good connectivity, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, the listen lines are very popular indeed, and we've had trouble over the years with the listen lines because they disconnect people and stuff like that, and we've never been able to really find out why. We talked to the company that provides them to us, and they claim it's the, phone companies across the, the matrix, whether it be on, the listener side or on the service side. Who knows? Well, I've got good news because we have upgraded our limited listen lines, our unlimited listen lines, and you can call from anywhere. All you got to do is dial 631-359-9366.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Eldon Stahl and Sam Bushman on your radio talking about all kinds of things on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Economics in One Lesson, a book. Mises Institute. Henry Hazlitt wrote it, incredible book for education on constitutional currencies and honest money and free markets and everything else under the sun. Simple one-lesson book. Boy, howdy, is it valuable. I also talked about our unlimited listen lines upgraded now. Call from anywhere. You can listen from any phone this way. And hopefully what happened was they used to give us these free lines. And then when the free lines, they would alter them. And so all of a sudden the numbers would change and all these different things would happen. Well, they now have introduced paid numbers. And so I paid for a number in hopes that it'll make it more stable, better listenable, stable line, etc. So the number's 631-359-9366. And if anybody wants to email me, libertyroundtable@gmail.com, let me know if the numbers are more stable and better. We're really working on this. People have called us over and over and over about this over the last several years. We have not ignored you, and we have not dismissed it or not cared. It's a very complicated subject to resolve, technically speaking, for a variety of reasons. I mean, you've got a ton of different phone companies. You've got disconnectivity everywhere. Cell phones disconnected. Whose fault is it when it disconnects? What capacity do the lines have? How many people can listen? I mean, it's very complex. And nevertheless, we hope to make gains in this area for our listeners. And so I wanted to kind of announce that and make sure people kind of were aware. The U.S. has now armed the Taliban to the teeth with latest U.S. military hardware. Do you want to just start there, Eldon?
Does that sound like a good idea to you?
I don't think we should be arming any nation.
Well, yeah, especially the Taliban. I mean, those guys are not good, as we know. But how does all this happen? Who authorized this? That's one of the things that I always point out to folks is, boy, if you put the ability to go to war in the hand of the executive, the founding fathers of our nation knew that that was a recipe for disaster. And they looked back on history and they said, you know what? We don't want that to happen. We want to put the power to go to war in the hands of the people that are most accountable, most directly accountable to the people, and that is Congress. Now, we get a lot of bad criticism about Congress. Congress is doing plenty of bad things. But if you think about the consequences of that, of putting the power in the hands of the president versus Congress, well, here's the even Abraham Lincoln, who he didn't follow through on his philosophy on this, but he did point out that it's a bad idea to put that power into the hands of the president, because the president is always willing to go to war. That's very tempting for the president. It's unlimited power, basically, like a king would have. And our founding fathers didn't want the president to be a king.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is important to understand the war powers in America and the constitutional provisions protecting us from going to unconstitutional, immoral, unjust war. And that's why the founding fathers said, let's put it in the hands of the most amount of people that are representative closest to the people. And that's why the House of Representatives has such a charge in that regard, because they answer directly to we the people. And that puts the most people involved in the decision to go to war or not. And if we do go to war, the details surrounding what will be our objectives to accomplish. If we're going to go, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to get done, and we're going to come back, okay? Those objectives become very nebulous indeed. Those goalposts and milestones become very, very, very vague and confusing if you let a single man like an executor, a president, make these decisions, go to war, stay in a war. We've got these unconstitutional, undeclared wars that have been going on for literally decades. And what they want you to do is believe that just Joe, you know, Joe screwed the pooch on this thing. Joe just blew it. Man, it was all good until Joe, you know. If it was under Donald, it would have been way better, way different. Okay, that's where the lies continue, in my opinion. Going in the first place under the George Bush scenario after 9/11 was the mistake. Coming out isn't the mistake. Now, how we come out could have been done better. I'm not defending Joe Biden, but Biden says, quote, no way to get out of Afghanistan without chaos. Now, do you agree with him on that? Well, to some degree, I do. You cannot go into a war that's unjust, that you ought to not be in the first place, and then at some point extract yourself without it being difficult and problematic. Now, just because I agree with Joe that, hey, you can never get out of an unjust war justly, in other words, it's never going to make sense, so there's chaos, I also still think Joe went about it all wrong. And there could have been a much better way. We have over 15,000 people still stuck in Afghanistan. And really, you know, Joe's just wringing his hands going, golly, I hope we can do something to help y'all. And others are critical, saying we're leaving people behind and all these different things. But again, it's bad how we got out of it. I agree. We could have got about it a lot better. But in the end of the day, though, can you really blame it on Joe? See, I think that's a misstep. I think that's a Republican Democrat partisan divide that's not helpful at all. What is helpful is to understand our foreign policy from a founding father-esque point of view and what we ought to be doing today to secure the stability of the United States of America, protecting her from enemies foreign and domestic, Eldon.
Yeah, definitely. One little insight from the father of our Constitution, James Madison, he said, of all the enemies of public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debt and taxes, known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Isn't that a description of the war on terror? Just continual warfare?
See, but say
warfare?
That again, because I think that's so poignant for its reality. Listen to the wording again. Say it again, Ellen.
Oh, right at the end. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare.
So we've had continual warfare for the last 20 years, ladies and gentlemen, and you see on the other side of that coin, freedom in America taking a serious tank, melting down. How much freedom do you have now compared to 20 years ago? And it is shocking how much liberty we've really lost in these, quote, undeclared wars where we chase people around into their own lands and wage unending war, right? Because even if we get out of the, quote, Afghanistan or Taliban scenario, we're still in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, around the world right now, Eldon.
That's right. That's right. And much of that is because of our involvement in the United Nations and its regional arrangement, NATO. And one thing we should realize is Congress has never declared war since 1945 with Germany. And one big reason for that is in December of 1941 with Germany, but in December 1945 is when the United Nations Participation Act was passed. Section 6 of that says that the president does not need authorization from Congress to basically go to war to enforce decisions of the Security Council of the United Nations in the name of peacekeeping operations. Very similar thing goes on with NATO, where Article 5 of that treaty obligates the United States to go to war if any of the members of NATO are attacked. Basically, that means that Macedonia or some little place that we don't have anything to do with all of a sudden becomes our business, and we're obligated to spend blood and treasure to defend their nation in some dispute that's been going on for thousands of years. But that's all with the United Nations. So the great argument for getting us out of the United Nations, and that would part of that would be returning the ability to decide on war and peace to Congress and save tons of blood and treasure.
Now, it's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the League of Nations eventually becoming the United Nations and this whole scenario of, quote, regional and or global governance, where the many defend the one at all costs, regardless of the realities of war and peace and negotiations and everything else. The problem with that general scenario is that it undermines the sovereignty of the United States of America and our supreme law. Our supreme law of the land, the Constitution, defines who, what, when, where, how, right? The checks and balances are clear. Congress has the power, not the president, Congress. Because of that, they have the purse strings, they have the budget, they have, okay. But when you jettison that and replace it with this, quote, international, you know, whatever you want to call them, treaties and everything else that in my opinion, undermine the sovereignty of, that's what we're really talking about. And every time our sovereignty is undermined, we find ourselves in quagmires that are unsustainable. They're bloody. They're tyrannical. They're unjust. When we come back, we'll talk more with Eldon Stahl, thenewamerican.com, on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Senior Taliban Commander Wa'idullah Hashimi on Wednesday laid out the foundation of how Afghanistan will be governed since taking Kabul. He says there will be an Islamic government with Sharia law and no democratic system at all. Wind-driven wildfires raged Wednesday through the mountains of Northern California near and around Grizzly Flats, California. That's between Sacramento and Carson City, Nevada. The fires have burnt hundreds of homes, forcing thousands of people to flee to safety. The Caldor Fire continued to grow in the Sierra Nevada mountains southwest of Lake Tahoe, covering 84 square miles on Wednesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 382 points Wednesday as the Federal Reserve meeting minutes from July suggest the central bank could be tapering its asset purchases this year. Tapering is the reduction of a rate at which a central bank accumulates new assets on its balance sheet. USA Radio News.
I'm looking forward to a play date with my granddaughter.
Nana!
I can't wait to get together with my friends for a backyard barbecue.
If you're 65 or older, you're starting to get back to doing things you love. Did you know even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia? It's a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Ask your doctor or pharmacist today about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
The Biden administration is saying vaccinated Americans will need more vaccine shots. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau explains.
Health officials recommended COVID booster shots Wednesday for those who have been fully vaccinated to shore up their protection against the coronavirus. The plan calls for a third shot 8 months after people receive their second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that a booster shot would increase the protection from the vaccines tenfold. The chief White House medical advisor tells CBS News that he believes one booster shot should be enough to maintain high levels of protection against the virus.
I would doubt if we're going to need many boosters when we try to find out the breadth and the depth of the response by a booster. It is really extraordinary. It goes up by multiple fold, at least 20 to 30 fold. So we don't anticipate that beyond this, we're going to need anything else.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
1,001 deaths from COVID complications were reported in America and our territories on Wednesday. USA Radio News.
On your radio with Eldon Stahl, ladies and gentlemen, John Burt, Society Field Coordinator in my area. JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com. The New American has been prolific in their writing over the last several decades about the origins of communism, the evils of war. I mean, topic after topic after topic, they just do a phenomenal in-depth reporting job. TheNewAmerican.com. But the U.S. has now armed the Taliban to the teeth, ladies and gentlemen, all kinds of military hardware. It's disaster. We can blame it on Joe, but that's a foolish mistake as well. I blame it on both sides for a long time. And I really blame it on this idea, no way to get out of Afghanistan without chaos, says Biden, Washington Examiner. You know, I understand to some degree he's right, but to some degree we should have never been there in the first place. And really going back and understanding our humble foreign policy of our founding era and highlighting folks such as Ron Paul and a few others who have really doubled down in modern times articulating this humble foreign policy, this avoid foreign entanglement doctrine, if you will, that George Washington was so famous for, Eldon, is really instructive. And I think Americans right now, they just don't know. They're just like, well, we got to fight evil over there, by golly, so that it doesn't come over here. And, you know, when you see on TV, can't you see that face of evil? We can't do nothing. And they deceive themselves into this scenario that has endless, perpetual, unjust war to it. Whereas we step back and look at the fundamentals of honesty, the fundamentals of solutions and peace and defense of one's nation, pretty soon you achieve the moral high ground and have this understanding that supersedes the latest crisis of the day, sir.
Yeah, and you talk about... Congressman Ron Paul, very good example. He proposed letters of mark and reprisal, which basically means hiring hitmen to go after the people that perpetrated the 9/11 attacks, holding them accountable. Nice way of saying it. But rather than having an unending war. But what Congress decided to do instead, they passed, Public Law 107-40, and it said the president is authorized to use all necessary and appropriate forces against those nations, that aided the terrorist attacks that occurred in 9/11. But it also says that he determines planned, and that he determines is basically a blank check. If you compare that to the Declaration of War against Germany, 1941, it says the president is hereby authorized and directed to deploy the entire naval and military forces of the United States to carry on war against the government of Germany. So very different. Yes, they're both authorized, but in Declaration of War, the president is directed. So who is in charge? It's Congress, the people most amenable to us, the people most accountable. And that war didn't go on forever. It was, I think some argue it went on longer than it should have, but still Congress insisted that it be brought to a conclusive end, which it was. And that's what happened there.
Resurrecting letters of mark and reprisal to address modern threats. Congress, ladies and gentlemen, shall have power to declare war, grant letters of mark and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and on water, is the general kind of an idea here in the Constitution. And this is what Ron Paul and Rand and others have been speaking about for quite some time. I've been speaking about it too. We don't need to go to these full war scenarios. Right now, what I think we should do is use mark and reprisal against the Taliban, where, you know what, you're going to let our people leave the country peacefully. And if you don't, we're going to go ahead and take serious measures to ensure that, you know what, there are repercussions. So I don't think we ought to go to full-scale war. I don't think it's justifiable. I don't think we should have been there in the first place. However, I do believe appropriate mark and reprisal and dealing with, you know, the land and the sea, the waters, to make sure that we can ensure the safety of our people is essential. And I don't think we should leave people behind. It's wrong that we are there. How we left was a misstep for sure. But there are ways to use mark and reprisal to ensure the safe return of our people. And that I think we should be all about. But you don't hear anything about it in the media, Eldon, at all, do you?
Yeah, and that concept is rarely taught in the schools. If it's brought up at all, it's this is something that was done in the past, but we don't do that anymore. So that's the idea of the progressives, that somehow over time the Constitution can be changed without going through the formal amendment process. But that would have been the appropriate thing to do instead under the Bush administration. I guess we went off over after the Taliban, and eventually Osama bin Laden was killed, at least we're told. But it morphed into, now we need to rebuild Afghanistan. We need to make the country into this liberty-loving place. We need to train their police and their military and on, build their roads and bridges and their gas stations and all these things. And, of course, that didn't work. But presidents, if they're given a blank check, they're going to take it. They're going to constantly give excuses as to why the war should continue. And it takes a lot to turn that around. 20 years, apparently, of just sacrificing blood and treasure for the people to demand that the war end. Perhaps we can learn something from that.
Perhaps we can learn something. Perhaps we can learn a different tact. That's why we're proposing the resurrection of, or the bringing back of, these mark and reprisal ideas that Ron Paul was so eloquent about talking about in modern times. The founding fathers used mark and reprisal appropriately as well. ladies and gentlemen, resurrecting these letters of mark and reprisal can address modern threats. It can keep peace around the world. It can set America up to defend her nation and her people. And these are, but I don't hear anybody explaining them, talking about them, proposing the use of them. But I think even in getting our people out and bringing our people back to safety, I think that these could be used very effectively to accomplish that goal.
Well, sure. Yeah, that would be a very appropriate use of the United States military to protect American citizens, American property, and things of that nature. Unfortunately, now for whatever reason, the military has allowed all these armaments to fall into the hands of, admittedly, people that would be our enemies, and not use the military to rescue civilians that should be rescued. It's a terrible thing, but these are the fruits of disregarding the wise counsel of our founding fathers in the name of some sort of greater good or whatever people want to sell it as. It's very unfortunate, but if we don't learn these things, we're going to have more scenarios like this. It's going to cost us dearly. So we better learn them.
Biden says troops will stay in Afghanistan until all Americans are evacuated. I appreciate that. They say the Taliban have agreed to allow safe passage from Afghanistan for civilians struggling to join the United States again. Do you have confidence? Is this going to be an easy extraction? Or do we have the greatest hostage situation the world's ever known, Eldon?
Well, do we have an actual plan to carry that out? It seems like the military has been withdrawn pretty well, and it's a little hard to get civilians out if the hostile people have a bunch of armaments that we left behind. That seems like a difficult situation to me.
Yeah, I don't think we have a plan in place. That's why I'm proposing the mark and reprisal discussion, as you wisely brought up. That's why I'm proposing there are solutions, but the answer isn't just for the president, for Joe, whacked out Joe, to act unilaterally and be like, hey, I'm going to have my troops there until everybody gets out. And we need to go back to the fundamental way Congress works, back to the fundamental checks and balances of America. And Congress needs to sit down as a group and say, hey, what do we need to do with the greatest hostage situation in America now? You've got 15,000 plus people stuck in a country with a tyrannical terrorist type organization at the helm in control, who have what do you want to call it, sequestered or acquiesced our hardware to the point where now they're armed to the teeth because of us, and we've created this massive crisis. Now what is Congress's solution to resolve this problem? And once they give him direction, whether it be market reprisal, whatever else, once there's guidance and funding for that guidance, then the president can carry out those directions via the checks and balances of the Constitution that Congress gives him to remedy the situation. But I don't see any of those fundamentals being put in place at all. When we come back, I want Eldon to talk about that a little bit, because that to me is the problem. We're just going from crisis to crisis, and we're running around, like a chicken with our head cut off? We don't have any direction or guidance or checks or balances or stability or accountability at all. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl. The reason that it's so important to discuss this is we need to go back to fundamentals. Right now we got Biden running around like a chicken with his head cut off, just going, I guess we're going to keep people in there. We're going to keep the troops there until we get everybody out. And, hey, that we're going to rely on the Taliban for safe passage. Never mind we gave them a gazillion dollars worth of military hardware to go ahead and carry out their tyranny and everything else. And the Taliban fighters, they say, are going door-to-door in Kabul, searching for female journalists. I mean, this is disaster, ladies and gentlemen. Now, but again, unless we go back to fundamentals for solutions, I don't think we're going to be any better off with the latest decisions and or changes and or responses as we've hitherto had, Eldon.
No, this is just kind of a continuing disaster. But it was kind of something waiting to happen. It's just a matter of when it would happen, because there wasn't any real concrete plan. You know, like, well, I know I alluded to the declaration of war against Germany. At the end of it, it says, and to bring the conflict to a successful termination. There wasn't anything like that with the war on terror and the authorization to use military force from 2001. It was just the president just does whatever he wants, whatever he thinks is necessary. And that morphed into all kinds of excuses of why we should still be there. And now it's going to be the same thing unless the Congress and Congress doesn't act until we, the people, insist that they put their foot down and say, we need to end this. We need to end this in a successful way, in a defined way, in a way that's going to benefit the most people. It might not be pretty because we've gone about things the wrong way here up till now, but we're going to at least minimize the damage rather than just say, well, we're going to let the administration figure it out and give them all the blame for whenever something goes wrong.
Afghanistan war, ladies and gentlemen, question for you. What is the future of the nation after Taliban takeover? What's the future of that nation? All right, and ladies and gentlemen, unless we go back to fundamentals, I say that the outlook looks bleak, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason I say that is the communist Chinese now are basically saying, hey, we're going to back the Taliban. We're going to recognize the Taliban. Well, wait a minute. We can't even recognize Taiwan. Okay, what about Cuba in our backyard? Okay, we've got these fundamental issues, and now that we've lost the moral high ground and lost this, quote, battle that we should have never been in the first place, on the world stage, America is being pointed to as the belligerent, out-of-control, hegemonist nation, they're looked at really as the world's enemy now, undermining everybody everywhere, every time, all the time, since what, the CIA coups of 1953 stuff. This has been going on for a long time, 70-plus years, and now what does the future look like? On this stage. And I've got two scenarios we can talk about in a second, but Eldon, I want you to respond to that first. What do you think the future looks like?
Sounds like it's going to go the way that Iraq went. Democracy was brought to Iraq, the majority rule, but there, you know, and in true democracy, really there's no limit on that power. And the powers that had been fighting under Saddam Hussein were different factions of the Islamic faith. One was more radical than the other, and more numerous. It won out after Saddam was gone to stop them from killing off. Saddam was there basically. He wasn't great, of course, but he stopped them from killing off each other too much, and that's what happened there. Now it's dominated by a radical Muslim type of thing, and they oppress the minorities. That's what seems like going to happen in Afghanistan. Democracy has triumphed, but it's not exactly what many people think of as democracy. It's the oppression of the majority, the dictatorship.
I see two futures in the world. And that is, if we continue on our current trajectory, which is we're going to back the military-industrial complex, we're going to back the president, a single man, just unilaterally doing whatever the heck he wants, backing this idea that we're going to work with, quote, global governance and global decision-makers to decide our peacekeeping, quote, agendas. I see a very, very difficult world full of turmoil, confusion, anger, hatred. And I really see this principle that Ron Paul highlighted from the CIA, very well documented, called blowback. And this principle is that when you meddle in the affairs of other nations, eventually you get this anger, this hatred, this vitriol against you, because you know what? They resent your breaching of their sovereignty. They resent whether you agree or disagree with their government styles or their ways of handling things internally. And they resent it so bad to where blowback becomes the default, the way of life, the reality check. And so I predict if we continue on this, letting the president act unilaterally, violating our laws, using international, quote, cabals for the agenda, backing the military-industrial complex, I see a very evil world full of terrorism and turmoil and destruction and more war, not less, just ramping up continual war, increasing in size and scope and focus. And because that's what the money changers, that's what the global elite, that's what the military-industrial complex loves. And on the ashes of funding both sides of and promoting these wars, these unjust, immoral wars, you end up with these tyrannical agendas that they love to control the people with. That's one scenario that I think is probably likely to be the case for Afghanistan, for the Taliban, for other countries around the world, who are left to their own devices under the abuse of and the provocateur agenda of the United States and other, quote, allied partners, if you will. Whereas what I really see should be the case, and it's a crossroads, it's a very fundamental turn to morality, to a just constitutional system, in where we would say we are not going to be engaged in foreign entanglements. We are going to defend America for sure from enemies, foreign and domestic. And we are going to use our resources to defend America. And we're going to set ourselves up as a beacon on a hill, a Christian nation on a hill, a light unto the world of, you know what? Here's the document that we use, the supreme law of our land, full of checks and balances. And the reason that we have these checks and balances is to make sure that no individual land or group gains too much power. And we are going to chain down any attempts at immoral, unconstitutional, provocateur style war. We're going to chain them down and stop that by honest money, constitutional currency. You can't spend yourselves into oblivion when you have real money to account for. There's nobody to write the check and, pay themselves later kind of a thing. All right. And so you chain them down and you demand accountability. All 435 members of the House should be saying, hey, how are we going to get our people out of Afghanistan safely? President, you should be waiting with bated breath on exactly how we're going to tell you to get this done. We're going to go to the American people, we the House of Representatives, the people that we're closest to, and get guidance and direction. We're going to put together some plans, and we're going to put together a plan of execution. And in this execution plan is not only the current crisis solution, but it's going to be a go-forward plan of how we're going to be dealing with the world. We're going to avoid foreign entanglements. We're going to double down in defense of the checks and balances. We're going to make sure that if we do have a reason, we're not going to reach beyond the mark. We're going to use mark and reprisal on a lot of these less than a declaration of war solutions. And we are going to start to tell the world that we're not a hegemonist nation. We're not a nation building nation. We are a humble nation that lives according to precepts of principle, of checks and balances, of honor, and we are a light on a hill to teach you to do the same. You have your own struggles, nations, but we will not breach your sovereignty, but we will provide a clarion call for peace. We provide a guideline for solutions that has a time-tested reality check of working well when obeyed, when honored, when carried out with fidelity. And this is our message to the world. I see those two as the only real scenarios. I pray we're going to go for the former. I'm sorry. I'm fearful we're going to go for the former. I pray we back the latter. Eldon?
So well said, Sam. Yeah, that's really the only sensible foreign policy we can have. Now, whether or not that happens is really up to you and me. It's really up to us whether we demand that it happens and whether we organize and support ideas and candidates, people to go to Congress and carry that out. If not, we're certainly going to see more situations like this, kind of a bad news side of it. But this can be turned around. It can be turned around, and Congress really is the key. And we've emphasized that for many years with the John Birch Society. If you organize even 500 people at the congressional district level, you can turn around your congressional seat to be constitution loving, and that's a very much a doable thing. Educating the people, organizing, and insisting that these sound principles are established in Congress again.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not something that, you know, some people kind of believe this is just pie in the sky, so far from reality discussions. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we can influence our congressmen and our senators. I think we can influence those who, you know, serve us. That, you know what, there is a better way. There are solutions on the table. We don't have to be given to this international body of manipulators. We don't have to have the president just act unilaterally. We can have wisdom and counsel. That's the congressional House representatives working together under the direction of we the people, taking their direction from we the people. How do we best deal with the Taliban right now? In my opinion, we ought to spend our time destroying a lot of the military hardware in that country that we've given them. We also need to spend our time getting people out of there. And once we can get this wrapped up, we need to stay away from these foreign entanglements and start to get out of this nation-building agenda. Start to ratchet down how many nations we're in, militarily speaking. Why do we need to be everywhere? We don't. This idea that if we're everywhere, it's going to keep us safe at home isn't true. And so we really need to lean on our congressmen and senators and teach them the principles. And if they're willing to carry them out on our behalf, great. If not, we need to find somebody else to do so. And again, you know, you say, well, Sam, that's not doable. And my response is this. If we the people can't be counted on to carry out our republic, and we think somebody else is going to do it for us without our engagement, our involvement, you are going to be ignorant and never have liberty, because liberty depends on eternal vigilance. It depends on educated people involved. It depends on turning to God Almighty for the moral high ground. It depends on all those things. And if you jettison the fundamentals behind the success, success will forever be elusive. Eldon.
Yeah, that's right. If nobody's going to do it unless we do it. We've got to take responsibility and say, you know what, let's get our kids out of the government schools that are teaching all these, some of these falsehoods about foreign policy and so many other things. Let's educate ourselves. Let's educate others. I'll make a plug for the Constitution is a Solution. Get that from the John Birch Society. Watch it. You can watch it online, too. Teach it up to yourselves, to others, and we can restore America.
JBS.org, thenewamerican.com. Eldon Stahl, thank you so much, sir. We'll chat soon.
Thank you so much, Sam.
You betcha. Ladies and gentlemen, there is hope. Never forget it. Stand on hope. Stand on the future. Stand on doing all that you can do and trusting in God Almighty for the rest. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, will you please. God save the Republic of the United States of America.